Can you, okay, describe this room. Let's start right there.
We're in a thin, long brick room that once was painted white, once, long time ago, when you had hair. And
thank you for that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is radio. People can't see you. There's all kinds of stuff stuck on the walls, but altogether, really, it just looks terribly untidy. There's an old fax machine, an ice maker, and just a whole lot of crap. There's a huge brassiere up there. A giant brassiere.
Would you introduce yourself, please?
I'm Liam. Nice to meet you. Dennis the Menace. I guess I could say I'm Liam the Friendly Bear.
Liam the Finn.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, but you're not Finnish, so there's a problem there.
No, it's my heritage that we're talking about.
But is it strange for you to be touring with Dad's band? What's that like for you?
I mean, it was great fun. I haven't done it in a long time, and I did that at the American tour, and then that was it. I kind of, only said that I was available up until the end of, like, mid-September, and so I kind of got it out of my system. I got the tour bus and the nice big theatres and the catering.
Now you're here.
And now I'm here in this brick shithole.
You know, I've interviewed other bands from New Zealand and, you know, lots of bands from Great Britain and Australia, and the thing that's always either good or bad for them is how long America has to wait to get their record.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating as the artist to have to wait to put your music out because you want to put it out when it's fresh and, you know, new for you. But obviously there are these systems in place that we are, you know, at the mercy of. Which
called getting the American label, called all that stuff.
Exactly, yeah. But, you know, I'm just happy to be getting it out. And in a way it gives me more time to focus on the Southern Hemisphere, you know, while it's out down there at the moment, and then, you know, spend next year focusing on the States.
So let's talk about what I saw tonight, because I was immensely unprepared because I only saw, you know, heard the one track and was able to read a couple of reviews, you know, about what went on, but now I've witnessed it. And so when you come back here, you know, you've played these showcases and you did, you know, the CMJ and you're going to do LA and, you know, you're doing, you know, a few showcases. But the choice of instrumentation and the way that you've gone about it is both wonderful and I imagine an immense challenge for you to play the music that way. But you did it by choice and it's pretty nifty.
It's definitely fun for me. I mean, there's a lot going on with the loops and playing bass lines and then playing drums. It kind of keeps me pretty stimulated and on my toes, you know.
And people are probably not going to expect that, are they? I mean, I had read about it, but I had no quite idea to the extent, and I was talking to actually someone from the record company, and so I want to ask you about this. It's kind of like playing live, only you're playing live by, you know, some multiplicity of a million, because if you don't like your first loop, you have to bring it back on beat and do what you need to do to make it happen, right?
It's definitely very haphazard, and there's always, you know, there's always disasters, but if anything, the disasters are what makes, you know, that's what makes, you know, the show unique, and that's what makes it, you know, fun for me, is trying to pull those disasters back into kind of controlled mayhem.
And when you go on the big tour, is it your intent to keep that methodology, or will you be bringing a touring band with you?
Well, I mean, it's a lot cheaper to travel around just me and EJ, so I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's constantly evolving, so it's not getting boring for us doing it this way. I think if I was going to introduce new people to the band, it'd be playing kind of more interesting and unique instruments, not filling it out in a kind of traditional drum, bass, guitar kind of way.
So I love the quote in your bio that you talk about, you know, lightning. You say you didn't want to compromise and collaborate on these songs. You wanted to record them as you heard them in your head, hence no major producer in the studio with you, right?
Yeah. I guess part of it is just following your, you know, what you believe in, or what's honest and genuine to you, but also it's probably slight perversity as well, because that definitely runs in the family.
Yeah, and you know, but on the other hand, you made this just a little bit more than a demo. In fact, not just analog, but you just happened to pick a Neve console that I believe that band with Townsend and Daltrey and those guys recorded on. So was that kind of the beginning of the vibe for you, that you realized that you were putting all this new music through some legendary stuff? Did that mean something to you?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, I think all old vintage gear carries some kind of story and soul with it. And I mean, to be quite honest, I'm not the hugest Who fan. Like, I mean, I appreciate some of the really early stuff, but there was always something. I love Keith Moon's drumming, but there was always something about the band that I didn't really connect with. But it doesn't mean that their Neve disc doesn't sound great or wasn't inspiring to use. I mean, the gear I was using was amazing, and I was very lucky to use it. But yeah, it's just I find it quite funny that I'm not, you know, people go, "Oh, you use this disc that Who used." I'm kind of like, yeah. Whatever. It is a great side story, and in some ways I feel like an idiot for going, you know what, I don't care about that. But actually, I just love analog equipment, and that, you know, that desk is definitely is a beautiful thing to get to work with, as is any of that kind of old, you know, 60s and 70s gear. Before people were using computers, they were getting a lot warmer and fatter sounds, so why wouldn't you want to use that stuff, you know? I don't think that people have made records that sound better than the records that were made in the 60s.
Tell me the story of the title track, because despite the fact you wanted to be alone, there was a little dinner that led to a recording session from what I kind of heard somewhere.
Yeah, well, the title track, I'll Be Lightning, I wrote with a really good friend of mine, Conan, who has his own band, who are living over in England as well. They're from New Zealand, called Conan and the Moccasins. And we became really close living over in England, and always planned to write some stuff together when we went home for Christmas. And right when I was making the record, we wrote this song, and the same day we wrote the song, we went out to dinner. I'm not really sure what reason. I think my mum was away, so my dad was a bit lonely and wanted to hang out with the boys. So Conan and I and Matt, the drummer for my last band, Betcha Duper, and our manager at the time, Zach, all went out for dinner, and Dad, you know, bought us bottles of red wine, and it was a jolly evening. And then we went back to the studio and jammed up the song and taught it to Matt, who played drums, and Dad, who played bass, and all of a sudden we had this kind of live take of I'll Be Lightning, which, you know, we didn't actually change anything.
You're like, why, how could I touch this, right?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's full of its kind of woolly edges and a few flaws here and there, but that was kind of the beauty of it. And the night was so spirited that it holds so much kind of, I don't know, joyous memory. It was definitely a very memorable night.
So I had read on someone else's blog, and I was actually there for it, but I'm curious to know what it felt like to play South by Southwest, and here you are, you know, and you're kind of there, and, you know, you're introducing this music, and you introduced it to, you know, a very small audience. So but tonight was like that too, and yet that doesn't seem to be the point for you, does it? It's more about anybody coming to hear the music.
Oh, totally. I mean, I'm happy to play to anyone that will listen, you know. I mean, tonight was great. Everyone was in the room, and they were there to see it. They weren't there to drink at the bar, and that's kind of what makes a difference. And I don't know. I mean, I just enjoy playing, especially when I get to go and smack drums. Drums was my first instrument, and I think that getting to play that has made me a happier person.
But now, the other thing that's kind of interesting to me that I really thought about tonight, and I didn't even really write the question this way, but the loops, theoretically, someone could turn around and say, well, that's limiting, because once you're in the loop, you've got, you know, you've got that, and now you have to work with it. On the other hand, I think that you do the polar opposite, because next thing you know, you say, ooh, what a great excuse to go into a Jimi Hendrix Woodstock-level jam in the middle of a totally melodic song.
Pretty much. I mean, every night's completely different, and, you know, that's what I enjoy about it, is that, you know, some songs, you get a good loop going, and it just really takes you somewhere, and you keep going with it, and it gets really wild and extreme, and other nights that certain song doesn't necessarily lend itself to taking that far. So, you know, every night the songs are kind of completely different shapes and sizes, so it keeps it really interesting for me. And I think ultimately that makes a more interesting performance for an audience, because it's someone put on the spot, you know, that's not going through the motions, and it's not the same, and it's not, you can't get too comfortable.
What's it going to feel like for you as people get more familiar with the songs? Do you feel that you're going to even have to take it farther in some way, shape, or form?
Well, I mean, I think the way that I do it live is very much in the same aesthetic as I recorded the record, and they are, you know, extremely different renditions of the songs. But I've had the record out in the Southern Hemisphere for a little while, and playing to them, I think the people that connect with the record can completely understand the live set because of just the aesthetic of it, and the fact that the record was very much recorded and kind of on the spot, and, you know, first couple of takes of each part, you know, it wasn't really over processed or overthought, and I think that's exactly what I'm trying to do on stage. So I don't know, it sort of seems to translate and make sense, but also I think, you know, there are less limitations live because it can go anywhere. It can really go anywhere.
We do have a little trick. And this is something that we do, this little game we play, which we call a musical sandwich. And we've done this with over 150 artists and bands. So we're going to take two songs from Lightning as the bread, and then have you throw in anything by other artists in between that you've always wanted to play and have people hear.
Okay, well, I think I'd have to start with a bit of Neil Young, because I think his aesthetic and recording and writing is very much kind of what has inspired me. And, you know, the raw kind of thing. So maybe we'd start with a bit of Cinnamon Girl by Neil Young, just because of the guitar playing, really, and the freeness of it.
I actually heard in that last song that you played tonight, when you went a little wild on the guitar, actually, it's so funny because that sounded like the end of Cinnamon Girl.
Well, I'll take that as a compliment. That's my favorite. That's my favorite part of the song.
Yeah, the ending. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, then I guess the next song I put in there is maybe I put in a bit of TV on the Radio for a bit of more current stuff. The first TV on the Radio record was really influential for me just because it was really loved how it was really vocally driven music. And there's a song called Ambulance, which is all vocals on that song. And that was, you know, that's beautiful, beautiful words and beautiful atmosphere. And that's what I really love about TV on the Radio is the atmospheres that they create in their songs that, you know, really make you feel something. So I'd say that's a big part of what I like.
Okay. Any more you want to give me?
How about a bit of Fugazi? Something a bit more kind of jagged and discordant. There's a song called Five Corporations, which is a pretty energetic song, but that was for my last band, Betch Duper. We were really into that band, and a song called Five Corporations just has such a good kind of loose, wild feel about it that, you know, that was a huge, you know, part of my life growing up.